HarperCollins presents King of the North Wind, The Life of Henry II, in 5 acts. By Claudia Gold. Read by Jonathan Oliver. Prologue. They would not let Will leave. The play had finished 15 minutes earlier, but still 3,000 people roared in delight and begged the players and playwright to remain. They took bow after bow to the din of stamping feet. London's richest sat in the luxurious gallery, mixed with its poorest, who had paid a penny to stand. Will had made them believe that this cockpit held the vasty fields of France, and of England too. It was May 1599. William Shakespeare's History of Henry II was the first play to be staged at the Globe at its new site on the south bank of the river, in Elizabeth I's capital city. It offered fantasy by candlelight under a ceiling painted as the heavens. Shakespeare felt that his subject could not be bettered. He had breathed life into the legend of England's most celebrated king, good King Henry II. He told of a duke who had battled to become a king, Alexander of the West, and the finest warrior of his age. Henry had forged and held an enormous empire in 12th-century Europe. England had not had such a king since the days of Arthur. His court was the most cultured in Europe, attracting writers, poets, scholars, and mathematicians from across the known world. The king's justice was everywhere, for everyone. He was a scholar king, sportsman, politician, and soldier, and his influence stretched as far as the holy city of Jerusalem. This king had all the talents and all the gifts, until his family turned against him. At first, there were only the traditional frustrations of royal sons, close to power but denied any of their own. But soon their mother joined the cause. Perfidy was in the air. Before long, Henry's sons and wife united with the kings of France and Scotland, and all who bore a grudge against him. Henry was threatened on 6 fronts. Surely an impossible challenge to overcome, even for him. The audience was enthralled by Henry's rally to his men as they readied to fight at Dol. "Once more, unto the breach, dear friends, once more." The Globe, for a suspended moment, was a battlefield in northwestern France. Henry could not lose this encounter. If he did, his enemies would take his kingdom. But his skill and cool head won the day. The victory at Dol spurred Henry to fight on. He put aside his grief as he battled for 2 hard years across England and France, moving with almost superhuman speed between the fronts. By the end, he had vanquished them all, and as a mark of his greatness, he forgave them, even his wife. He gave her what he had promised when he stole her from her first husband, the King of France. Real power. He even forced his fractious archbishop, Thomas Becket, into submission. Henry and Becket had been fighting for 10 years. Now Becket limped out of his self-imposed exile back to Canterbury, bitter and broken, worn out by fasts and penances. Henry gave him the kiss of peace. Shakespeare's epilogue completed the hero's life. Henry died the grand old man of Europe, at peace with his wife and his sons, and his empire intact. The story was brilliant propaganda for Elizabeth, the fairy queen. She was an absolute monarch, just as Henry had been. Shakespeare had not shied from depicting a complex character. Henry sometimes ruled harshly, but he could also be tender. The playwright had shown the audience Henry the King and Henry the Man, imperfect to be sure, but remarkable in person and triumphant over adversity.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?